What is up, everybody? It is Chris Aiken with another edition of Chris Aiken Presents, and joining us now is my tied up member, my tied up partner, Mr. Eric Ferrantinos. Eric, what's going on over there?
Oh, Chris, how are you, buddy? I've been better, man. I've been better. If I could just get my hands free here, get explore. There we go. Then I can kind of explain what's happening here.
All right.
Oh, well, maybe this might help. I'm in a sanitarium, buddy.
I guess so. Nice. Why are you in the sanitarium? What caused you to get locked up?
I'm in a sanitarium. This is a funny story. At the Oceanside Pier, where I take my walks every day, There has been a lady, a kind of wacky lady there. God bless her soul.
Sure.
Okay, that's what they say in the South when somebody's
that's what you're supposed to say, right?
Anyways, I've been seeing this lady there for like about probably at least 3 years.
Okay.
The whole time I've been with Susan, anytime I've walked down the pier, I always forget that she's there. And then she, because when you're walking, it's kind of surreal. You have the ocean. There's so much input happening, right? Okay. You know, you got the water, you got strangers, you got seagulls, you got, your senses are almost overloaded, so you kind of almost go into this like trance as you're like walking through the crowd of people,
right?
Tourists, the locals, whatever, you're heading down the boardwalk, and then all of a sudden a woman will pop out and be like, that's what they get for fucking with me, the trial, and starts like talking about like right. some court case or something. Like, she starts flipping out. She's going, well, of course they gave it to him, my dad lied to the jury, you know. She'll start like yelling, and I'm like, whoa, and then I'll like take off. And there's been so many countless, you know, interactions with her. We'll call her Maggie. I don't know what her name is. I'm certainly not making fun of, like, you know, mental health. This is just She's more like a character to me that's just down there. And sometimes she can be like really offensive. You know, there was one time, I recall walking with Susan, and she was coming from the other direction towards us. And she all of a sudden just looked over at Susan and goes, you know, you're paying for that. You're paying for that. I was like, holy shit, this is my girlfriend here. Anyways, so moving forward today, you know, when I go for my walks, I kind of just throw on whatever. I threw on, you know, track pants.
Right.
Had my t-shirt, just threw picked up a flannel off the floor that I've probably worn at least 4 or 5 times in the last week and a half. I put that on. I put on the crappiest Vans I own, which are the slip-on Vans that are kind of just plain black. They're just kind of lame. And these are the ones that I walk on the beach when I'm looking for shit.
Okay.
I'm looking for treasures and stuff. Right. Because I've been hit by waves, so they're nasty and smell like, you know, sea funk.
Right.
And I'm wearing those. And I, when I walk, I think about stuff in my head. And sometimes I'm arguing with people that aren't there. And sometimes I'm thinking about songs, so I'm a musician. You know, sometimes I might have my hand and I'm like, moving my fingers or something. I didn't realize this till today, until Maggie, out of nowhere, as I was walking back from going one way around the pier and coming over, all of a sudden Maggie's like, oh, somebody's over it. You know, and like puts her hand out like to pound me, like pound it. I think you said something like that today. She's like, there's somebody's had enough, you know, and like she broke out of her like typical crazy shit to show pity on me.
Right.
Who she assumed was a disheveled, crazy person that was walking down. That's so funny. Yeah, I just, have you ever been confused as a homeless person or a crazy person?
I have not, actually. I've not. I'm too fat. I would have eaten way too much to be homeless. But right. No, I've never been.
Yeah, I wouldn't give you too much money if you were. I'd go, let's wait till he's down to about 180 before we start giving him any money. Yeah, so this, you know, got me thinking for a backdrop for today. I was like, let me go with like a sanitarium. And then I thought about Johnny Kelly.
Sure.
And I'm like, he's in Quiet Riot now.
Right.
And so he should feel right at home, right?
Yeah,
you think so. This is like Metal Health, hello? Is this on? Yeah, I had the straight jacket. I'll do that bit again when he comes on. But
you should have wore you should have had the mask guy. Scully.
Scully to be in here with me?
But to be covering your face when you came on, like the Metal Health guy.
Ah.
See?
Yeah, that's kind of close to that.
See, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That would have been non-mental health.
I wanted to do like a whole beach thing with Scully, which I'll do in the future.
Okay.
It's like the weather has been garbage again here out of nowhere.
Really?
I do see the sun is popping out right now. But okay. As for the last 2 days when I intended to film some Scully scenes on location, if you will, like 100 feet over there on the beach. Right. But the weather was crap, so I went against it.
Right. Nice. Well, dude, you didn't play last week. That had to be boring for you.
Yeah, it was kind of boring. However, you know, with Mother's Day, what we had the flowers going all last week. For people that don't know, a little side gig for me, I have a flower delivery service, if you will, that I'm like a contractor for this. And this place has me deliver flowers for them when they need it. And Mother's Day is, of course, a huge holiday for that.
Right on.
And yeah. So anyways, I probably did like 300 flower deliveries in the past week. And it's a stressful job.
I have to ask, just my daughter does delivery too. She does DoorDash. Right. And I just always am like, I think about it. I'm like, yeah, it's a cool gig. Unless you get bad places to go, like either bad neighborhoods or more to the point, apartments. Because apartments, you never know what you're walking into. You know, how is that in the flower game? Is it, do you get a lot of apartments or no?
Yeah, when I first started doing that it took so long to find apartments, and it's still always a pain in the butt. Right. Even down to like apartments and gated communities, just the gate aspect,
right?
You know, because you get there, most of the time the name isn't even going to be in that thing. What I'm looking for is somebody that's either going in or coming out, because I'm going to either go in behind somebody or I'm going to kamikaze in the wrong door of the gate with somebody that's coming out. Usually in the time it takes for me to get out and look on the flowers for a phone number and actually call it, they don't answer because they're not expecting a call, and I do a text. And within that time, usually a car is coming in or out, and I quickly abort that, jump back in my car. And it's exciting. Right. I do get like, I'd be lying if I didn't get like an adrenaline rush.
Right.
I'm actually, I kind of stink when I get home off like a 5 hour, you know, run into flowers, because your body's like let off so much adrenaline and different stuff doing these totally illegal moves.
Too funny.
And I'm trying, in Mother's Day, it's like I'm in total clown car mode, you know, where it's like they're shoving like 40 flower arrangements and balloons in my car. It's a total clown car. I can't see a goddamn thing. There's nothing safe about it. So it's like, it's dangerous, you know, but I made great money probably for that, you know, week. And then luckily they haven't called me in. I wasn't going to go in anyway. I needed some time to like just.
Now, are there tips? Do you get tips at all or no? Because I'm thinking you don't, because nobody's expecting the flowers.
That, and I'm like a ding dong ditch guy.
Okay.
You know, I'm more about like, I get my photo of it and get all that straight before I even like ringing the doorbell is like the last thing I do.
Right.
And most of these people have an eye ring anyway, so it's not,
okay,
you know, really necessary. But I think the pandemic changed a lot for delivery. That's when it no longer was a handoff where you had to hand it off to them or something. Sure. It was leave it there on the front door type scenario. Delivery is really like moved that way, evolved.
And just
that
take
way.
Your picture so that you could prove that you dropped it there.
Right. You see a lot of footage of even FedEx and UPS people that take the picture and then come walking back and grab it and try to walk backwards or try to, you know, fake out the camera and take the box. I've never done anything like that or thought to.
Yeah. My daughter said that they're trying to institute some kind of a pin thing now with DoorDash, or they're talking about it, where when you get to the place, you'll get sent a pin. Like if you were delivered something to me, you would push whatever button on your phone saying that you're at the location, and I would be delivered a pin number. And then I would have to punch back the pin number to DoorDash into the DoorDash app, almost like accepting the delivery, so that you couldn't say that they didn't deliver the food.
Oh, it's more, that sounds more like the customer is the one.
Well, the customer would have to, DoorDash sends them a pin, like when they complete their order or when they place their order, that'll be like, okay, your order's been received by whatever, McDonald's, your pin number is 3206.
Yeah.
And then when the driver comes up to deliver, then the person has to, like, in their driveway, the person has to put in their pin number 3206 in order to get the food dropped at the door. And that would be like proof of receipt.
I'm glad I don't do that anymore. That was just such a lame job. Any of that working for Uber, Lyft, any of the Postmates, all the delivery things I had to do were like public service punishment for me. You know, this thing's like, you know, a lot easier. It was like a 2 or 3 hour little thing just to keep, because it's, as people know, it's super expensive here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I do pretty good playing music, but you need more than that here. Like if I lived anywhere else, I would have definitely my own house and all that. But
here
you're renting unless you have $1 million.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, my daughter with DoorDash bought a house, bought a car. You know, she's doing fine, and she makes a lot of money doing DoorDash. It works hard, but
it depends where you are. But these companies are awful.
Oh yeah,
the way they're run. I mean, they're treating you like you're your own boss, and you're a 1099 person, but you have to do the job exactly the way they want to. You have no. If you start denying people or not taking deliveries, they'll just take your access away from the app. So you have no say in the matter. You have to take these very unprofitable, you know, runs.
Yeah, and they fuck them on their, like, if somebody complains, you know, the DoorDash people anyway, they don't have any real quality control over the orders, because the orders are all sealed. You know, it's like in a bag or a box or whatever that's sealed, where they can't see what's in it. So if somebody calls and complains, which I've done, I'll admit it, I don't do it anymore because I found out how it works. But so let's say I get a DoorDash order and I'm missing my sandwich. Okay, I ordered 3 sandwiches for me and my kid or whatever, and one of them is missing. They'll, instead of making the restaurant re-deliver it, they'll just refund the order. Just blind, because DoorDash doesn't even want the hassle. So they'll just refund you the order. Well, the problem is when they refund you the order, then the delivery guy gets fucked out of the tip, because they refund the tip too. And it's like, so the delivery guy that did nothing wrong gets fucked. And that's apparently is a big problem, is, you know, because a lot of people, they'll call back, or they'll call DoorDash or message, or however you do that, and say, well, I didn't get my drink. So instead of refunding them $2, they'll refund them $50, whatever the whole order was. They just refund the whole order. And then the delivery person that wasted a half hour and put 15 miles on their car or whatever, they get nothing. They get screwed out of basically that half hour's money.
And not, sucks. Sometimes more than that. I mean, I never did DoorDash, but I remember doing Postmates.
Yeah, same thing.
And it was similar. And there, any of the restaurant ones could be devastating, like time-wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it was busy and somebody... And I started to realize that and start avoiding... It was a little easier on Postmates, I think, to avoid taking food orders than it was on like Lyft or Uber. Right. If you started saying no to rides on Lyft and Uber, they would kick you off the thing. They were like Nazis. But I do remember being able to like figure out which restaurants were not worth doing.
Right.
You were asking me about apartments. Like after enough deliveries, you get like a sixth sense for apartments.
Sure.
But some are ridiculous to like navigate through. And I'm always bummed when I have to do that, especially if it's one where I got to like actually park my car and like go huffing with some big flower arrangement through a complex.
Right.
You know, that's, well,
I know with the apartments, my daughter told me she won't deliver to them. She just, because A, they don't tip, and B,
right,
you know, it's a time suck by the time, you know, if it's a locked apartment, which most of them are, you can't just go up and deliver it. You know, plus it's, you know, she's a woman, so it's dangerous. It's dangerous to go up into an apartment complex with a bag of food.
And homes, like most people have dogs these days. Yeah. And, you know, the woman that actually referred me for this job, she's had all kinds of bad stuff happen to her.
How bad?
Well, like she's been bitten by dogs, like I think three different times.
Sure.
Because I think she does things the way that the owner asks you to do it, which isn't how I do it, but he wants you to go knock on the door and then just sit there and wait, holding the flowers and like wait till they get there and then hand them the flowers. When I started doing it for them in the height of the pandemic, people were like freaked out. They didn't know. They didn't want to be anywhere near.
Right.
And I wasn't about to wear a mask or anything to go do any of that stuff. Sure. So I was more, and the other thing he said is then you have to go into the app and you have to, you know, take a picture of it. If they got it, you have to go to the sign for it screen. They have to sign, you have to give them their phone. You have to sign for it. I'm like, fuck that. I'm like, how about left at door? Here's the photo. Fuck you. And I'm out.
Yeah.
And so Laura gets bit by dogs because she, waits for them to open the door with their three or four dogs they have, or chihuahuas or whatever crazy dogs. I don't. Also, she's, I think, tripped and fallen and like poked her eye, and blamed the homeowner too. And like each case, I mean, she's gotten paid on these, you know what I mean? People have homeowners insurance, you know, hey, you shouldn't have that stump in your yard, you know, whatever.
Right.
You could fall, you know, and eat shit. One positive thing about this is it does get me out. I live in beautiful San Diego, so I can get out and get some sun for a few hours. I probably walk at least like a mile and a half doing the job for a few hours. And then I take a walk when I get home too, which is about another 2 miles to the pier and back, just to make sure I get my like 3 to 5 miles of exercise in.
Right.
So it's helpful for that. But, you know, I've been on top of my bills and things have been good. I'm not ashamed to like do a side thing on top of being a rock star.
Well, I mean, look, you'd be a rock star all day long, but if I ain't paying the bills, then you gotta do more.
Well, most of those guys aren't living here in California anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they had to get out. It was way too expensive to be a rock star and, you know, not have to go deliver flowers. Like,
well, you got to be more the star part than the rock part to live in LA. You got to be a star to afford it, you know.
Right. There's different circumstances. Some people have been grandfathered into stuff up there, or they've had family that have passed on and estate. But I'm happy to report my parents are doing great and they're going to be around. You know, for a lot longer.
Right. I got a long time to go. Exactly.
Our channel's blowing up now.
Yeah. How about that? We're getting some love on the channel, man.
I know. We finally got over that 1,000 hump. So thank you.
Yeah.
To those of you that subscribed.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of people are watching, you know, we're getting bigger, much bigger numbers the last few weeks of shows, which has been great. And you know, I think it has a lot to do with we've had some really good guests, which has not sucked. Dude, how great was that last week with D David Thibodeau and Andrew Hagar. That was just fucking good, man.
Yeah. Looking back on it, I took a photo. I always do that on my Facebook or whatever. I'll take a photo of us live at the show. I had Andrew Hagar in there with us, and he looks so much like his dad. It's ridiculous. I think he tries not to when he plays live. He has his hair like a different color and whatever, but just his face alone took me back. I go, I feel like I'm looking at Sammy Hagar in like 1990 or.
Yeah. I wish I would have explored a little more about why he doesn't get the attention that Wolfie Van Halen does. Because his music's just as good.
It is, actually. And I made a comment that it was similar to Wolfie's music as far as like it would be on the same radio station.
Yeah. it would. I mean, if you listen to it, it is similar. And I mean, I get it. Wolfie, the son of, the all-time guitar god, you're a guitar player. I'm sure he's number one, two, or three in your list. He's in the top five of everybody's list on guitar, I think. Is that fair?
Eddie?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, is he number one on your list?
He always was. Yeah. For me, he was the number one.
Yeah. I mean, of any style, people of any style list Eddie Van Halen in their top, maybe not their number one, because I know it's like cliche now. So everybody tries to have the hipster pick. Everybody tries to say, you know what, man, it's Andreas Kisser, man, or somebody, that's good, but you certainly don't think was innovative like Eddie. But, he's a hip pick. So I get why Wolfie gets the attention. But, Andrew's been through the same amount of shit as Wolfie. Really? Right. I mean, he's had to deal with, in fact, to be honest, he's probably been through more shit because half of the Van Halen people hate his dad. That's gotta suck.
His song actually reminded me a little bit of a Sammy Hagar song. The underneath groove kind of, even though it had a modern production, he wasn't singing like the same style as his dad. The song had like almost a classic rock chord progression of like old early Hagar or Montrose or something.
It was good stuff. And I mean, he's got all the pieces to be successful. And like we were saying, his guitar player in his band is Trey Lukather, who's a Steve Lukather's son. So you've got that whole, a lot of lineage there between Toto and obviously, Van Halen or Sammy Hagar or Montrose or, pick one of his bands. To me, it seemed like it should be bigger than a few hundred people hearing it on YouTube. That's all I was thinking, but.
Well, they're going to hear about him now.
That's right. Go right to our channel and you can check out the interview and hear a little piece. So
that's right.
Well, dude, speaking of people that people are going to hear about, we need to get to our guest. We have a great guest tonight. Somebody I've never talked to before on anything that I've done. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Crowbar. Love them. And Todd Strange, Sexy T, as he's known in the Crowbar world, is going to be on here in a second to talk about his new band. His new band is called I Am. It features him and Kirk from Crowbar, and it features Kenny Hickey and Johnny Kelly from Typo Negative. And, I mean, that's a true super group. That's like an underground super group, no?
Yeah, agreed.
It's totally... totally, totally cool. The band is great. At least the song I've heard is great. So we will find out all about I Am. We'll find out about how this band came together, what they're planning to do, play a little bit of the song, and we will do all that next right here on Chris Aiken Presents.